Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17? John, chapter 17. I want to read a few verses before we get in and have a word of prayer this morning. John 17, beginning at verse 13. If you have the red letter edition, these will be Jesus' words. Beginning of verse 13, he says this, and this is a prayer. I am coming to you now. He's talking to the Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. How many of you would have prayed, God, take them out of the world? How many of you would have enjoyed that prayer? Yeah, there's a few of us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Say protect. Protect from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Would you place one hand on your head, on your brain this morning, and I'd like you to place one hand on your heart. I know you are all aware right now that your heart has more ganglia for memory and believing than your brain does. There's a pile of people who know with their head, but they don't believe in their heart. Would you just put it on both right now? Father, I want to say thank you that you have prepared every mind and every heart for the seed that is going to be sown today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working. I thank you that you are speaking in such a way that people hear your voice and they know it's you. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And I thank you this morning, Father, that your word has a power like no other. I declare today, as your word goes forth, it will accomplish, and I believe, give revelation and transformation. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus, believing, and everybody receiving it said, amen. This morning, Holy Spirit would have us carry on from where we left off last week. I want to ask you, how many of you were here last week and heard the message? How many of you? Just raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of you. If you weren't here, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to it. It is the before what we're going into today. By the way, I want to say thank you to all of those Sunday after Sunday who do what they do in order for the messages to be able to put online and for people to be able to hear them outside of this, outside of the service here. All of the media crew that does that, all of the sound technicians, the camera crew, Pastor Jane who does editing, Kate who does the final editing and the posting, putting on online and CastBox and on YouTube. I want to say thank you. I'll tell you, it takes a whole crew to do what we do here and to put it out there and trusting and knowing with feedback that God is using it. We may not be a 100,000 person church, but I'll tell you, we want to be faithful with what God does in here. And so if you ever get a chance, just say thank you to some of those people who put that together. I am so thankful that we are so blessed, and I just want to say so blessed to not only have the quality of people, but the people who are gifted and have talents to do this kind of stuff and everything else in the church. We are a blessed church, I will tell you that. And so thank you. God bless those of you. Last week we began by looking at where we were as a society about 50 years ago, and then we looked at a number of things that have brought us, especially dealing as it relates to technology, subliminal messaging, surveillance, mind manipulation, things that have happened that have brought us from there to where we are today, basically dealing with our AI technology and beyond that, to the place where we are forced to ask the question in our life. And not just once in a while going, God, is this real or is this not real? Or asking the question, is that the truth or not the truth? Those are not questions we just ask every now and then. We are at a place now where in so many areas, almost all the time, when it comes to what we're reading in the printed material, what we're hearing online, what we're seeing on television, what's coming from our politicians, what's coming from our doctors, what's coming across the pulpit, we're having to ask the question, God, is that true or not? Or looking at it going, is that real or not real? It used to be that that line between what was real and not real was pretty clear. About what was true and not true was pretty clear. I want to tell you that line is not very clear in our world anymore. And the reality is, as we talked last week, it is going to get worse. Let me encourage you today. It is not going to get better. It is going to get worse. Of the four levels of AI technology that we talked about last week, we are only on stage two. Three and four have not even been unleashed on us yet. They are coming quickly, but they will look at number one and two and make it pale. I got to tell you, if you get a chance, just ask Pastor Jane. Coming out of last Sunday, she showed the women at Women's Bible Study a clip, an AI clip, where now there is a program where you can pull up on your phone your dead mother or your dead grandmother. You can pull up and have conversation with them and invite them to look at what you're doing in your life, whether it's a baptism or your Christmas meal or a birthday party, and they are there interacting with you on the phone because of AI. It's called media necromancy. If you get a chance, if you're interested, just ask Pastor Jane. She'll give you the link. She and I looked at it after the Bible study. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. Before I go on, I need to make one correction from last week. Pastor Jane brought to my attention again. Remember, I was telling you some years ago, we went to a Celine Dion concert. Do you remember me saying that? And I said to you that at the concert, Pavarotti showed up, hologram, right, and sang with her. Jane corrected me and said, Carl, you don't remember correctly. It was Andrea Bocelli. Everybody know the name, Andrea Bocelli? Bocelli? Yep, born in 1954, was blind by 18 years of age. I mean, one of the most famous Italian tenors that is out there. He was the one who sang with her. I said to Jane, I said, I'll tell you honestly, Bocelli, Pavarotti, it's no different than linguine and spaghetti and macaroni. I mean, they're all the same, right?
Andre Bocelli.
That's what I said. I speak in tongues, she interprets. Get at that? That is how that goes. I'd love to be able to say to you that this is as bad as it's going to get in our world in this whole area, but to tell you the truth, in the days that we are in and the days yet to come, and we call these the latter days, just so you know, we are in what's called the latter days. We know that the enemy of this world is going to do whatever he can, however he can, to steal, kill, and destroy. Is he consistent? You bet he is. Steal, kill, and destroy the lives and souls of those whom God created. If they're a non-believer, to keep them from ever coming to the place of placing their faith in Christ. That's his goal. And if they are a believer, to do what he can with his only power, which is the power of the lie, to deceive, cause them to fall away, move into deception, and ultimately fall away from him. That's his goal. Can I ask you straight up? Is there already a great deception going on, not only in the world, but also in the church today? Is there a great deception? If you believe it is, just raise your hand. Absolutely. Can I tell you, church, we're in it greater than in my lifetime, greater than I think any of yours. Some of you are way older than me. But greater than any of our lifetimes. God bless you, people. There is, church, there is a great deception, and let me say this clearly, there is much more yet to come. As we read last week in Matthew 24, unless the days had been shortened by the Lord, it says none would be saved. Even the elect, if possible, would fall away if the days were not shortened. But praise God, He is going to keep that from happening by shortening the days and by giving us what we need right now, day by day, to ensure that we are not casualties in this deception going on in the world, to ensure that we are more than overcomers in whatever comes our way. As we talked last week, we are the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. The world hates them. I don't ask you to take them out, but I ask that you would keep them from the evil one and his schemes. That's his prayer. And he is wanting us to be the answers to that prayer. And so this morning I need to share with you what the Lord has laid in my heart regarding what he has given us so that we don't fall victim to the deceptive schemes that are alive and well on planet Earth, and I'll tell you, they're going to get better and better as the enemy goes on. I just want to remind you of what I read you last week in the book, talking about the brainwashing, the mind experiments that were taking place 50 years ago. We are all so aware of that. I want to remind you of the observation they had 50 years ago, and this was it. They said, the only people that were not affected by their techniques and experiments were those individuals who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. The only people who were not affected by their techniques and experiments were those individuals who had been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Is it possible? Is it possible that God knew, in order for us, his children, to make it through this earth journey, a world under the control of the father of lies, the principalities and power of the air, is it possible that he knew that we would need to be filled and empowered by a spirit of truth greater than what is in the world? Is it possible? Let me tell you a sobering truth that should motivate us like never before regarding our mission here on earth. I want to say this to you really clearly. We live in a day where much of the church, their number one goal is comfort. They're wanting to be comfortable in their life. They're wanting to be comfortable in their journey. They want to be comfortable in their retirement. They want to be comfortable in their friend circle. Their number one goal in life as a Christian going through this journey is comfort. That's their goal. But I want to tell you something sobering. Apart from a person having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and being filled with his Spirit, there is no hope standing against what the enemy is doing in our world today. Let me say it again. There is no hope apart from Christ and his Spirit in us. It takes a greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world to do it. Praise God we have that. But every person out there without him doesn't. So if the enemy can seduce the church into the goal of comfort as compared to the goal of reaching those who are still veiled and dead. He laughs all the way to the bank. I want to tell you what a motivation for those who are born again in the church for us to be about the Father's business in these latter days. It is no longer about comfort. It is about warfare. Today I want to share with you what Holy Spirit has laid in my heart. As born-again believers, we have been given things we have been given in order to keep us from the evil one, to keep us from being deceived by the father of lies, to keep us not knowing the truth from the lie, not being able to discern the difference, keeping us from falling into the enemy's agenda. I want to give you a number of things. If you have a notepad, I'd like you to take it out. If you don't, if you'd grab your bulletin, take it out. If you don't read, encourage your spouse to do it for you. And if you are illiterate and can't write, just have your spouse do that for you too, would you? Or maybe one of your children. But I want to encourage you to write these down. Apart from the first one, Apart from the first one I'm going to share with you, all of the rest are not in any specific order of significance. The first one is the most significant. They're all important, but after that, it doesn't matter what order they're in. But I want to begin with the first. We're going to shoot them up on the screen. Number one, you must be born again. That is the first, and filled with His Spirit. It was true in 1975. It was true in Jesus' day. It was true in the Dark Ages. It's true today. And I want to tell you, it's going to be true tomorrow until our feet lift off the ground and we are with the Father forever. It is going to be true. We need to be born again and filled with the Spirit. There is not only no hope of eternity with God in heaven, but there is no hope that any person has of not only standing against the enemy and the demonic agenda, but there's no hope of even seeing it. I want to tell you clearly, apart from being born again and filled with the Spirit, nobody will be able to see the deception that is taking place in their lives. It requires a greater power in a person than the power at work around us, and that person is Jesus, and that power is Holy Spirit. Everything I'm going to share with you today will only apply if you have right relationship with Christ. And I want to say this, the Lord just led me, if you are here today or if you're listening online and you have never made that decision to receive Christ in your life, before we go on, I'm going to pray that prayer. Because you will not get, you will not understand, you will not comprehend unless you have Christ and the Spirit in you. Nothing else is going to matter until we get there. So I want all of you to bow with me for a moment. If you are in here or you are listening online and you have never prayed the prayer, I just invite you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. As an act of my will, I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me all of my sin. And fill me with your Spirit. I give you permission to have your way in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. I want to give you a list of things that God has given us to keep us from this world of deception. The first one is being born again. The second is this. Exercise authority over deceiving spirits. Exercise authority over deceiving spirits. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus called the 12 together, the Bible says he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And after his resurrection, he said, go into Jerusalem and you wait until the promised Holy Spirit comes. When he comes, he will give you what? Power. He will give you power. The same power that was in me. I will never forget two things that God used to awaken me to the reality of deceiving spirits at work in my life. Yes, let me just say that again. Deceiving spirits at work in my life. And awaken me to the authority I have as a believer to deal with them. I remember in my early years as a believer, struggling with the reality of God's love for me. I know I'm the only one who's ever struggled with that. But I remember struggling with the reality. I got to tell you, I knew it with my head. I read it in the Word. I even preached about God's love. But I knew that I did not know it in here. There were glimpses. There were times if we were at an event or times if we were in a worship service or times we were in some place. There were certain environments where I felt it, but I want to tell you, I did not live with the reality of God's love in my life on an ongoing basis. I didn't have it. And I will never forget a time praying about it to the Father, and I was just talking to him, and I will never forget him saying to me, Colin, my love for you is constant. And if there is ever a time you are not feeling loved by me, you are demonically deceived. I want to tell you, there was a mini shockwave that went through me And let me tell you what it was. What? I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. Deceived by the enemy? Me? It wasn't long after that that Craig Hill came into our world. I was introduced to his book, Deceived to Me. I was instantly drawn to it. And I have to tell you, as I read that book, veils were pulled back from my spiritual eyes. If you have not read Deceived to Me by Craig Hill, you put it on the top of your book list. I realized that there were piles of areas in my life where I was walking deceived by the enemy. God said to me, Colin, if there's ever a time when you're feeling alone, like I'm not with you, you're being deceived. He goes, I'm with you always. If you aren't feeling it or knowing it, you are being deceived. Can I tell you, it's the Grand Canyon between someone who has an orphan spirit and lives like they're alone and someone who has the spirit of sonship going, I am never alone. As a result of those two things in my life, I want to tell you what began. Every morning, before I would move, before I would get out of bed, I would begin exercising the authority that God had given to me as his son. I would bind the demonic spirits of deception, and I would command them to be gone. I would loose them out of my life, and then I would ask Holy Spirit to come and take all of the ground. I want to tell you, I prayed that Holy Spirit would be the only operative spirit in my life. I can't tell you how powerful that was and how drastically things began to change in my life. Let me just ask you a question here. Can you be a Christian and still have demons affecting you? How many of you believe that? Yes, you can. I will tell you very clearly, you can't be possessed, because if God is in you, a demonic entity can't take total control over you. But even though God is in you, demonic spirits have the ability to oppress, to torment, to deceive. And let me tell you, it is my responsibility to deal with that in my life. I realized that no one else was going to do that for me, and if I didn't do it, I would be affected continually. Let me say, nobody is going to do that for you. If you are not exercising your authority over deceiving spirits that are at work in and around you, if you're not casting them, binding and casting them out, who's going to do it for you? Let me tell you quickly. The nature of deception is that you don't know you're deceived. So I could ask every person here today, how many of you believe you're deceived? And a pile of you would go, I got no deception in my life. Let me just say to you, you're probably deceived. I'm not special, but I'll tell you, if it can happen to me, I believe it can happen to anybody. We don't have to let them. I encourage you, begin every day, exercise your authority, remove every demonic entity from your life, invite Holy Spirit to take back the ground and to be Lord over you. I invite you every day to begin your day doing that. Number three, would you write down, know the word? I want you to turn with me, if you would, two scriptures, and you can write them down. I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 119, if you would. Psalm 119, really quickly. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it has some good things in it. I'd like you to go to verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97 says this. This is David writing. He says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day. Listen to this. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I love your word because I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Can I ask you a question? Is David saying when you know the word of God, it'll make you smarter than your enemy? Yes. Will it make you wiser than your teachers? Or doctor? Or lawyer? Or politician? And can I ask you a question? Do you have to be old and be a believer for 30 or 40 years before you walk in the wisdom of God? Or can you have the Holy Spirit and empowered, embedded in the word, and be smarter than the old people around you who've been in the church going through tradition year after year after year, but they are not grounded because they don't know the word? Can I ask you, do you have to be old to be smart? I know a pile of old dumb people. So do you. Flip over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Some of you know this off by heart. For the word of God is what? Living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Listen, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Can I ask you, is there anything the enemy would do out there that God does not already see through? The word of God is living. Let me remind you, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, is the weapon of the Spirit in our lives in this world. It is the only light that exposes the lie, and it is the only power that has the ability to resist the enemy. We know what Jesus did in the wilderness with the enemy. When the devil himself, not a demon, not a minion, the devil himself came and lied to Jesus and tried to deceive him, what happened? The word exposed the lie, and when Jesus said, "It is written," the enemy had to what? Flee. I'll tell you why the enemy is not fleeing from a lot of believers today. I'll tell you why the enemy is still having believers bound in addiction, bound in lies, bound in deception. Let me tell you why. Because there is no word to reveal the lie, and there is no word to say, "It is written," and have him run from us. He's not running from us because we've got no sword of the Spirit. The other night at one-to-one discipleship, we were talking about this. Do you know there used to be a day in the church when memorizing scripture was part of what you did as a Christian? I asked the question that night. I could ask the question today. How many of you have memorization of the word as a part of your daily life and your routine, getting the word in you, getting it planted on the inside of you? Don't raise your hand because I know the answer. It's the same as fasting. Fasting used to be a part of what the church did, of what believers did. That was there. Today you could ask the question. It doesn't exist anymore. The seduction of the enemy has removed those from our lives. But I want to tell you this. Those who don't know the word are going to fall prey to the enemy in these latter days, and they already are. They're going to keep being deceived till the end. But those who know the word, and I mean know it, those who know the word, when the lie is in front of us, Holy Spirit has something to work with. He will pull up the word. He will reveal the lie. He will give us the "it is written." He will empower us to say it, and we will speak it back, and he, the enemy, will run. Can I ask you, do you think Charlie Kirk knew the word? Do you think as he was going from campus to campus to campus all across the United States, Canada, even somewhere around the world, and he was confronted by the lie, he had people come up and they were spewing all, do you think he knew the word in such a way that the Spirit brought it back up, he was able to counter the lie, and right in front of him, how many people who were deceived in the light, the light turned on, and they got saved. Campuses! I'll tell you why I believe that what has been happening since Charlie Kirk was assassinated is not going to go away this time, because it was not a political assassination, it was a spiritual assassination. And when that seed died, I want to tell you, spiritually, it began to mutate, and we're going to see it grow, I believe, till the end. We've all heard the example, and I just want to tell you one more time, it's as true today as when we heard it. How many of you in here have ever worked in a bank? How many of you? Just raise your hands. Yeah, number of you. When they taught you to identify counterfeit bills, counterfeit money, because it's real, it's coming across, not that long ago, there was a whole bunch of 20s that were circulating in cameras here, they're all counterfeit. But in the bank, when the money was coming across, when they taught you how to identify a counterfeit bill, did they show you all kinds of counterfeits and teach you to what to identify? Or did they teach you by showing you the real thing, get to know the real thing, that's all you do is study the real thing, and if a counterfeit comes across your path, you'll instantly know it because it doesn't line up with the real. What did they teach you? Study the real. Know the real. That's all they had to do, was study and memorize and know the real bill. So if anything was off, they instantly knew it. I want to tell you, that's how it is with the Word of God. Know the Word. Study the Word. Memorize the Word. Understand the Word. Be a student of the Word. I love what David said. The Bible says, David said, I love the Word. Can I encourage you? Get to the point where you love the Word and you'd rather have the Word than food. You'd rather have the Word than the Super Bowl. You'd rather have the Word. We could go on and on and on. I'll tell you bluntly, church, without the Word, we're going to be affected. Would you write down number 4? Learn to hear the Spirit's voice. Learn to hear the Spirit's voice. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 2. I want to show you something. I want you to have your eyes on it, because you might not believe me. Mark chapter 2, we know the story. This is the story of the paralytic. The 4 of his friends came, ripped the roof off. They dropped him through the ceiling. In verse 5, it said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now look at verse 6. It says, now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there. These are the religious people of the day. These are the pastors. These are the Bible study leaders. These are the spiritual people. They were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fella talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? What does the Bible say? Were they saying it out loud? No, it says this. They were sitting there watching what he was doing, and they were thinking. They were thinking. Look at verse 8. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their heart. Can I just tell you something that's really exciting for us as believers? There's not a single thought you have that God doesn't know it, that he's not hearing it. He's aware of it. If you don't think that, you're deceived. If you think your thoughts are private, you're under deception. The Bible says that Jesus was there. The religious people were sitting there. They were thinking in their heart. And the moment they had those thoughts, it says immediately Jesus knew what they were thinking. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus know it? Did he know what they were thinking because he was Jesus, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary? Is that why he knew it? Or did he know it because Holy Spirit was in him and Holy Spirit knows what they're thinking? And Holy Spirit told him and said, Jesus, this is what those religious boys with the collar, this is what they're thinking right now. And as a result of that, he immediately knew. Can I ask you a question? How many times in Jesus' life do we read that Jesus knew what people were thinking before they even opened their mouth? When you read through the Gospels, I want you to find out. Over and over and over. Jesus knew. They didn't say it. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking. How many times in Jesus' life did Jesus know people's intention before they did anything? Let me ask you. If Holy Spirit did that in Jesus' life, because that is a part of what Holy Spirit does, do you think that Holy Spirit would do that for us when we are in this world, around people who are not straight, but they are demonically influenced? Do you think he would do it for us? I want to just throw this out there, and I don't want you to be weirded out by this, but I want you to ask yourself, how many times have I been in a situation where I've been with somebody, and all of a sudden, that person didn't say anything, but all of a sudden, there were thoughts going through my mind as, this is what they're thinking. I know what's going on. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have had that? Let me tell you, that is part of what Holy Spirit does. Do you know what it's called? Word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit will tell you things that you don't know about people and circumstances that otherwise we would have no clue about. When someone is talking or saying something, the Holy Spirit says, Colin, he's lying. Have you ever had that? When someone is coming across as nice and friendly and supportive and encouraging, Holy Spirit says, Colin, he's not being truthful with you. He's trying to fleece you. Let me tell you straight up, unless you hear Holy Spirit say that, you're going to be fleeced. You're going to be lied to and you're going to believe it. When you are listening to a politician or a preacher, and it sounds so good, so believable, and everyone else around you is like, wow, that's right. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever sat with the doctor and what the doctor was saying? In your spirit, the spirit was going, don't believe that. Have you ever had that? Have you ever been in a church where a pastor is preaching across the pulpit and in your spirit you are hearing, that's not the truth? Has your spouse ever come to you and told you something and in your spirit the Lord said, it's not right? Don't believe them. We've talked about this before. If Abraham would have done that with Sarah, can I just say to you men, when your wife brings another woman and says, sleep with her so that we can have a child, just listen to the voice of the Spirit inside of you going, I'm not doing it. That's not from God. That's not from God. It comes down to what? It comes down to my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep will hear my voice. Church, we have been given Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, it is Holy Spirit who is speaking to us the words of the Father. We are meant to hear his voice with clarity. The sons and daughters of God are led by what? By Spirit of God. Let me tell you, unless we are able to hear the voice of the Spirit, we're going down. We will be led astray. If you don't hear, let me say to you, learn to hear. And there are people who will help you to learn to hear. If you hear, make it the cry of your heart to hear with greater clarity. But I want to tell you, church, unless we hear, the principalities and powers out there deceiving even the church today are going to affect our life. Would you write down number 5? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this, pray in the Spirit at all times. Can I ask you a question? Why did the 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and fell in them, when they opened their mouths and out came other languages, why did that happen? Can I tell you why? Because it wasn't them praying. It wasn't them praying. It was Holy Spirit praying through them. Can I ask you a question? Do you think Holy Spirit would ever pray a prayer through you or me that was not 100% in God's will? Do you think he would ever pray a prayer that was not God's will? So every prayer the Holy Spirit would pray through you and me would be 100% praying in God's will. Can we agree on that? Can I ask you a question? How many prayers do you pray in the flesh, in your own language, that are 100% in God's will? Just raise your hand if every prayer you pray in the flesh, in English, is 100% God's will. I can't raise mine either. I will never forget a story I heard from Jesse Duplantis. He was talking about a man that he knew, a very, very wealthy man. But this man did something that was pretty amazing. Jesse said this man would have all kinds of financial and business opportunities come his way. And let me just say, when a person is wealthy, more opportunities for wealth comes their way. When a person is in a poverty spirit, they don't even see. In fact, the Bible says a person with poverty spirit doesn't even see when prosperity comes knocking. It'll come knocking, but poverty doesn't see it. This man was incredibly wealthy. Opportunities came his way all the time. He would listen to them. And then Jesse said this. After he heard them, he would go into his prayer closet and he would pray in tongues. He'd pray in the spirit and he would not come out until he heard from the Lord what he was supposed to do. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever made a decision in your life before you have went in your prayer closet, waited on the Lord, and you didn't come out until you heard? How many of you made decisions without doing that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. This man had a practice. He would go in his prayer room and he would not come out. Sometimes he was in there for a short time, Jesse said. Sometimes he was in there for a much longer time, but he wouldn't come out until he heard. And when he heard, he would do it. He said there were times when everyone else was jumping on board because this opportunity looked amazing. If you put it in there, it's going to double your money every year. It's amazing. You got to do it. He would go in his prayer closet. He'd walk out. And the Lord said, don't do it. So he wouldn't do it. And there were times when an opportunity came his way and everybody around him was going, don't do it. It's going to go under. That's a bad investment. These are not good people. He would go into his prayer closet. He listened to what the Lord was saying. And he came out and the Lord said, I want you to do it. And at times he was the only one doing it. And everybody else in his circle was shaking their head going, what are you doing? What are you doing? He would be obedient to what the Lord showed him. And what happened? It worked. And he was blessed. Jesse said something that was very impacting. He said, in all the years that I have known him, and he gave the number of years, I can't remember. He said, in all the years that I have known him, he said, he has never had one financial deal go wrong. Would you just raise your hand if you can say in your life that in your whole life you have never had one financial decision you have made go wrong? Just raise your hand if you're in that category. When everyone else went for something and he heard no, Jesse said, I can't tell you how many times that man watched those investments go belly up and his friends lost millions. There were other times he listened. Nobody else going for it. He was the only one. He went for it. And he was blessed. Because as he prayed in the Spirit and as he waited on God, Holy Spirit gave him clarity. The Holy Spirit gave him direction. The Holy Spirit revealed what was flesh and emotion. and what the flesh and emotion would never reveal. Holy Spirit had a knowledge that he and others did not have when it came to making those decisions. Church, I want to tell you this in love. Speaking in tongues is wonderful. It is. But it is not an accessory in our Christian walk. It is an essential weapon if we are going to make it through this jungle of demonic lies and deception. If we don't speak and pray in tongues, asking Holy Spirit to reveal, we're going to miss it. If you don't speak and pray in tongues, I want to encourage you to ask Holy Spirit to release it in your life. And if you need help doing that, you ask somebody who can help you to awaken that inside of you. And if you speak in tongues, but you don't pray in tongues, I want to encourage you, begin the practice of praying in tongues in your life. Begin the practice and allow the Spirit to pray 100% of God's will through you and reveal things to you that your logic and flesh and education could never get. Let me tell you straight up, I got 24 years of education. I am not smart enough to know what Holy Spirit tells me. You don't have to have any education, and Holy Spirit will tell you things. If we are making decisions without praying in the Spirit and waiting until we get from the Father, we're going down. I want to tell you a profound truth. Holy Spirit will never be deceived by the enemy. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries, the Holy Spirit will never be deceived. If we have Holy Spirit, he will empower us to do the same. How many of you know what a black and red bug that flies is? Now I believe they're demonic. If you and I have Holy Spirit and we let him operate in our life, let me tell you, we too will never be deceived. We will never believe a lie. We will never say yes when we're supposed to say no. We will never say no when it's supposed to be yes. We will never go where we should not go, and we will never stay when God tells us to go. I'm just telling you, with Holy Spirit, that can be true in our life and needs to be in the latter day. I guarantee you, every person in every church that is being deceived and is moving away right now is not hearing the voice of the Spirit, and they are not praying in tongues. Let me tell you what you already know. The sons and daughters of God are led by who? Let me give you one last one, right? Number six. Would you write it down? Number six. Accountability and confirmation of fellow believers. Accountability and confirmation of fellow believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see what? The day drawing near. Can I ask you a very straight question? What does a coyote or wolf look for when he comes to a flock of sheep and he's ready for a meal? What does he look for? He looks for the weakest, and he looks for the one that has moved away from the flock and is on his own. Is that correct? The one that has strayed because it is easy picking. Church, I would like to tell you that being part of the church family is a luxury in our walk, that we can do okay without going to church and being with other believers. I want to ask you, how many of you know people who have the belief, you know what, God and I, we have this thing. where I'm okay. God and I don't need to go to church. I can do my own church or I can watch it on TV. God and I are good. Who needs to go? God and I, we got this. How many of you know people like that? Just raise your hand. Yeah, we all do if we're honest. We know people like that. Let me tell you why I believe God said in his word, don't neglect it, and all the more in the latter day. Apart from all of the other reasons. If you are being tempted to believe something that is a little bit off, and it never begins with a Grand Canyon off, it begins with a little bit off. If you are being tempted to believe something that's a little off, you heard it online, you heard it on YouTube, you read it in a book, you saw it on the news, you heard it from a friend in your coffee room, something is tempted, you believe something that is a little bit off. I want to tell you, this past week, I sat with a very dear friend of mine who heard something on the dark web, and they were questioning their salvation as a result of hearing it. It sounds so stupid. How can one little thing that you hear somewhere all of a sudden cause you to question and doubt what you have been living and believing for years? Let me tell you, it happens all the time. Being tempted to believe something that's a little bit off, and you come to church and you hear how they're speaking the truth, can I ask you, does that help you get back on track? When you are sitting around a table with a group of ladies or a group of men, and you're talking about that area, an area in the real world, and you have questions and as to whether or not you're thinking properly, could God use a group to bring clarity and even correction in your thinking? I'll tell you straight up, church, and I'm not going to name you. I'll let the Spirit do that. I've been there. The enemy doesn't want us to be accountable to others. And men, we're the worst for that. We are the worst for that. The enemy doesn't want our thinking to be challenged. This is what I think. It's right. Don't tell me I'm off. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you don't allow anybody to speak into your life or challenge you or steel sharpening steel. That's the issue with us men. Most men don't want anybody steel sharpening their steel. Piles of Lone Ranger men in the church. And there's a pile who go, you know what? I need steel. I need to be sharpened. I need to be corrected. I need to be. It's a pile of lone sheep in the church. Way off from the flock. The enemy doesn't want us hearing a truth that's different from our truth, because our truth, it's right, don't you know? The enemy doesn't want us around others who are walking in the light, because it's hard to deceive those in that setting. But to get you alone, to get you with your own thoughts, to get you thinking, I don't need anybody challenging me, to get you away from the flock, away from accountability, away from correction. He knows he's got us, and he's good at it. How many do we know who have been seduced away from the flock, and now they don't even walk with the Lord anymore? Church, we need each other. And let me quote Holy Spirit, all the more as we see the day approaching. Six things, church, in the day that we are in, that we need to get straight. We're going to pray into it right away. Number one, we need to be born again. That is the beginning, and filled with the Spirit. Number two is we need to begin exercising our authority, and not just every now and then. Let me tell you, exercise our authority the moment we wake up, taking authority over every demonic, deceiving spirit that would seek to affect our life during the day. Third one, we need to know the Word. Some of you, for the word, it is like fast food. You just pick it and it's gone. You're reading it while you're in the toilet. If you have time, every 2 or 3 days, you pick it up and do a little devotion. I want to tell you, spiritually, you are anorexic. We need to hear his voice. We are in a day where without hearing the voice of the Spirit, you know, for a long time, there were people who believed, and there's over 1 billion of them today who believe, well, I don't need to hear because the Pope hears. The pastor hears. Somebody else will hear and they'll tell me. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, my Spirit is going to fall upon all people so all people can hear my voice. And let me tell you why. Because if I ever speak something wrong across the pulpit, it is your job to go into the Word and hear the voice and have the Spirit say to you, you know what? What Paul said is not true. You don't believe him. You believe me. If you are waiting for somebody else to hear the voice of the Father and direction in your life, you're already deceived. Pray in the Spirit. Somebody once said, if you ever want to humble a Christian, just ask him about their prayer life. Church, I'm not going to ask you about your prayer life, but I'm going to say this. In the days that we're in, we need to raise the bar of our prayer life, and not just praying in the Spirit. For some of us, it doesn't even exist. We're making decisions out of our logic, out of our reason, out of our education, out of our path. That's how we're deciding. We're not going into the prayer closet going, I'm going to stay here until I hear, and I'm coming out and being obedient. Even if everyone else is doing it, I'm not going to do it. In church, we need each other. If everywhere else in the world we're not hearing truth and we're being deceived and we're being lied to, if everywhere else, we need to have a place where we come and have people speak the truth, have people challenge what we think, have somebody sharpen each other. Men, we need each other. Women, you need each other. Sam, I need you.
So a story for listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. I need to practice it more, like I just said. But I remember before I had kids, I was working at a vet clinic, and I got bit by a cat. An infection very quickly spread up my arm. Had to go to the doctor. And this doctor said, you need antibiotics. And this is what I want to give you. And I looked it up real quick. And part of it was inability to conceive for a couple months being on it. And we were trying for a baby. And I just heard God's voice so clearly tell me not to take him. And so I was like, what the heck? I said, I would like to not take the antibiotics. And she's like, this is the only option. And I said, well, we've been trying, and I really don't want to take them. And she said, well, I can go and consult with somebody else, but your blood results came back. You're not pregnant. And I said, I don't want to take the risk of it. And so she went and consulted, came back. Well, they're like, there's another antibiotic that we can try, but it's not guaranteed. And I said, I'm willing to take that chance. And I went home, and 2 days later, I got a positive result on a pregnancy test. And if I hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit's prompt, I wouldn't have had Arthur today. So that's huge. That was life-saving. And ever since then, listening to the Holy Spirit's voice can be so life-changing. And so it's just so important to practice that skill.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Grab your Bibles, turn with me one verse as we end today. Matthew chapter 24. Go to verse 23. Talking about the end of the age, it says this, at that time, this is Jesus, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is. What does Jesus say? Don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles and deceive even the elect. Can I say to you, unless you hear the Spirit, the signs and the wonders and the miracles will deceive even the believer. Look at verse 26. If anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert. What does Jesus say? Don't go out. How will you know not to go? Oh, thank you, Lord. That's not of you. Okay, I'm not going. I'm not going to that conference. I'm not going to that speaker. I'm not going to that place. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I'm not going. If you can't hear, you're the best you got. Would you bow with me today? I'll tell you simply in obedience, we need to pray through each of these things, and I'm going to ask you, every one of you, if you are at a place where you are going to allow the Holy Spirit to begin working in your life in order to step into the things we've talked about in these days we are in, so that we are not deceived. I have already prayed for those of you here and online who didn't know the Lord, prayed for you to be born again. If you didn't pray then, you can pray now and receive Christ into your life, but we're going to go through the other five. The Holy Spirit empowers us to exercise our authority against deceiving spirits in our life that would keep us from hearing and seeing or have it perverted. I don't want you to stand and I don't want you to raise your voice. But right now, if you are at a place where you are saying, Holy Spirit, I need you to empower me to begin doing that. Every day I need to begin exercising my authority, casting every deceiving spirit out of my life and asking to be filled with the Spirit. If right now you are open for the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that, I just want you, between you and the Lord, just to make that commitment. For some of you, reading and studying and memorizing the Word of God has been hit and miss at best. It has not been a priority. You have lived like you can get away a day or a week without it. But the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to be in the Word. You need to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He's got to be able to bring it up and expose the lie and say, it is written, and have the enemy flee. If you are at a place where you are willing to let Holy Spirit take you into the Word and ground you deeper than you have ever been in these latter days, I want you to come before the Lord right now, between you and him, and make that commitment. Asking him to empower you to be in the Word like you never have before. If you are at a place where you have had a hard time even believing that you could hear the voice of God, let alone hear it with clarity, or if you've been at a place where you have been hearing his voice, learning, and you are going, God, I need to hear it more. I want to. I need to hear what you're saying to me. When you're saying yes, I need to hear it. When you're saying no, I need to hear it. If you are at a place where you are open and wanting Holy Spirit to bring you into that place of clarity, just right now, between you and the Lord, you just come and you ask him. God, I need to hear your voice. Do what you got to do. For some of you, praying in tongues is not a part of your life. You've been baptized. You know you have the gift. But It's not something that you have been using. It is not something that you have been going into the closet and praying and waiting on the Lord to get clarity. You have been making decision after decision after decision without waiting on the Lord and allowing Holy Spirit to speak and minister to you. If you're at a point where you don't speak in tongues and don't even believe it, I want to ask you to ask the Lord about that, go into His Word. But I want to say, if you are not exercising, praying in the Spirit, in making decisions in your life, if you're at a place where you're going, Holy Spirit, I need you to change me. I need you to do with me what that man did with you. I'm going to go in my prayer closet. I'm going to wait upon you. I'm not going to trust my logic, my spouse, my education, what anybody else says. I need to hear from you. If you're at that place, right now, between you and the Lord, I want you to ask Him, Holy Spirit, you empower me to begin going in, shutting the door, and beginning to pray, allowing you to pray through me until I get clarity. You have never been deceived, Holy Spirit. With you, I will never be deceived. Just between you and the Lord. If you are here today, it's possible that coming to church on a regular basis has not been a hit and miss for you. But for some of you, you recognize that church has been an option, not a necessity. If I feel like it, I'm there. If I don't feel like it, I'm not there. If something else comes up, or if somebody else comes and invites me to do something else, I'll jump at it and I'll dump church. Can I tell you, in the latter day, the word expressly from the Lord is, do not neglect to get together for a reason. We need each other. You've had the mentality that I don't need church, or I'm a Christmas and Easter type person, or when I'm around, I'll do it, and if I'm not around, just between you and the Lord right now, would you just ask Him? God, would you plant inside of me your word concerning being a part of the fellowship, part of the light, a place where truth is spoken, a place where I can be challenged and corrected if needed, just between you and the Lord. Jesus, I want to say thank you again. I want to say thank you that you prayed a prayer 2,000 years ago that was for us today. I want to say thank you that you prayed not that the Father would take us out of the world, but that the Father would keep us from the evil one, keep us from being deceived, keep us from falling away, keep us from being ineffective. Thank you, Jesus, you prayed that. Thank you that you are able to accomplish that in every one of our lives. I thank you, Father, it doesn't matter what is going on in the world. It doesn't matter what is happening in other believers' lives or churches, Lord. I remember when you said, even though every other couple divorced, Colin, because of me, you don't have to. Millions might fall away and compromise and go lukewarm. Father, because of you, we don't have to. I thank you that you have empowered us never to be deceived. You have empowered us to know when someone's lying to us, empowered us to know if something is not real. Holy Spirit, you have filled us. We invite you to fill us and have your way. And I thank you that you are shortening the days. You are faithful to keep your children until we lift off the ground or we see you face to face. Let that be true in every one of our lives, every one of us under the sound of my voice. May we never never be deceived and walk without Him. Father, would you seal what you have done here today? Would you bring back to our remembrance? And I ask, Father, that you would radically, as we begin exercising our authority, as we begin getting into your word and knowing it, literally knowing it, as we learn how to hear your voice with clarity, as we begin exercising praying in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that we will truly learn what it means to be led by you. Do we need Holy Spirit just for the big things, church? Would you stand with me and receive the blessing of the Lord today? Child of God, I release to you the blessing of the Lord so his name can be on you and his blessing can be upon you. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace and the discernment of his Spirit. Declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said, Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.